It's Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
The question from our listener is, could you tell the difference between the mental fatigue and physical fatigue?
Yeah, you know, one is manifested in your body when you're just weary because physically you have exhausted your capacity to do whatever it is you're trying to do, and you just need to lay yourself down and get rest, recoup. And physical fatigue is easier to recuperate from because all it requires is just a nice, good rest and relaxation. But a mental fatigue is a lot different. When you are wearied or fatigued mentally, sometimes it takes a lot more, like when the Bible says he restores my soul. It takes sometime God to come in and restore you when you have that mental fatigue. And mental fatigue can often manifest itself in the physical realm if you don't take care and tend to it. So let's talk about today just that. Let's talk about that mental or spiritual fatigue.
And thank you so much for your question.
In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Judges 6:13, it says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites."
Be not weary, because the truth of the matter is, if you've been alive for more than a day, you probably have grown weary. You may be there right now. And weary, as it's defined in the dictionary, just means a feeling or showing tiredness, especially as a result of excessive exertion or lack of sleep. And we know that's referring to the physical weariness that our bodies experience. But then there's that mental or that spiritual weariness that we have. And some of us are there right now when we are just spiritually spent and tired and at the end of ourselves and really wanting, needing, not just wanting, but needing a refreshing in the very presence of the Lord.
We all, like you said, we have all been there before, and we are feeling a little tired. And sometimes it's because we have done so much in the ministry, that we've fulfilled so many responsibilities, or we have worn so many hats. Or there's times when we have thought about the promises of God. We've remembered the prophecies that have been spoken, but then we're waiting, and it seems like we've been waiting for a long time. And in this whole process, we begin to get a little wearied. And so I know that some of you are right now in this point in time in your life where you're looking for deliverance. You're looking for God to bring you out of this situation. You're looking for the promises that God has spoken unto you, and now you're waiting to see them. Where are you, Lord, in this time that I'm waiting in?
And that's what Gideon was really saying in Judges chapter 6. He said, "Oh, my Lord, if you be with us, why is all of this happening to us? I know you have been there and prayed that prayer. God, if you be God, how could I find myself in this dilemma? How could I find myself in this crisis? How could I be in this situation? If you are my God, and you are, then what is going on in my life? And he said, where are all the miracles that our forefathers told us about? I mean, they have rehearsed with us how great and magnificent and wonderful you are. And we don't have testimony service, most of us, in our churches anymore. But you remember, LJ Renee, we used to have testimony and people would talk about how great God is, how wonderful God is, how miraculous he is. And sometimes you're sitting there saying, God, you are my God too. And how come I'm not experiencing the outpour of blessings that they are talking about? Where is the God that they are testifying about and rehearsing the goodness of? Where is that God? Have you forsaken us? Mm. That is what Gideon was saying. Dear God, have you forsaken us? Have you failed to come through and deliver us? And if you've never been there, just keep on living. Mm. There's coming a day when you're going to, even Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The humanity of Jesus cried out to God as though he had forsaken him. You will reach a point in your life when it feels like the faithfulness of God has forsaken you and the presence of God has left you and the blessings of God are far from you, and you too will say, my God, have you forsaken me?
Even when we were talking about the promises, if you read in verse 12, and it talking, I'll just paraphrase, is what God has sent the angel, and the angel told him that you will be the one, you are the mighty man of valor, and you will be the one that will deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Well, listen, sometimes you can hear that word from the Lord, but in your right now where you are sitting, it don't look like that you are that mighty man or woman of valor. Matter of fact, you're looking at yourself and you're comparing yourself to others who might have received the promises, or it seems like they're just going on with life, and here you are stuck trying to figure out, when is God going to pour forth upon you? And he said, I have not forgotten you. What I've spoken to you, it will come to pass. In our waiting, we cannot be wearied in well doing. I remember even speaking to someone today, and they were saying the same thing. You know, when I look at what I'm praying and I'm reading my Bible and I'm doing the right thing, but then I'm looking at someone else and they're not doing all that I'm doing. They're not praying. They're just going on about their business, but it looks like they are the ones that are prospering. And I remember that in the word of God, he said, fret not yourself of evildoers. It might look like that everything's going well, and maybe, but listen,
only for a season.
He says, I got something greater for you. And in this time, we just have to continue to pray and hear God's voice. There may be some things that we have not done that God has asked us to do. What is the next step, Lord? Why am I feeling this way?
Part of what causes our fatigue, our spiritual weariness, is because we think that God should adhere to our demands. And we think that when we want something, that he ought to do it right now. What God has instructed us when he says, be not weary in well-doing, is what he's saying is, even when you don't see the results of what you're doing, keep on doing it if it's what God has called you to do. Even when it doesn't feel like you're having the impact that you expect to have, keep on pressing on because it's what God has called you to do. And I know even in my heart, I can see the fatigue of pastors many times that are laboring, especially those who have smaller churches, even those who have larger churches, but those who have smaller churches, they labor and they keep on laboring. They wonder, why do I have the same 16 or 36 or 106 mm-hmm. people that I had for the last 5 years? How come my church isn't growing? And they look across the city or across the state or across the street, and the other person's church is growing out of the seams, and they're having their third building fund because they've already built from the first two building funds. And you wonder, why hasn't God blessed me? I've done everything God told me to do, and I've been faithful to the cause of Christ, and it looks like they're not even adhering to the will of God, and they're doing things that are not of God, and it seems that they are blessed. But the Lord is reminding us always through the scriptures that don't be like David told us. He said, look, when I looked upon the wicked and I beheld the prosperity of the wicked, my foot almost slipped. Yes. Because I got to thinking it's easier doing it the way they do it. It's quicker if I go the route that they went. But that is not the way of the Lord. And there wasn't many people I heard the Lord testify of like he testified of David, that he is a man after my own heart. And God blessed David more than he blessed the wicked, that David was becoming envious of. For a season, it looked like the wicked were prospering, only for a season. You've got to stop putting your eyes on what's temporary. Don't sacrifice the eternal for what is temporary. You got to put your eyes on the greater prize. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I guarantee you, because the word has said it and it is true, it cannot lie, that God is faithful. He will come through for you. And if you trust in the Lord, you will not be disappointed or ashamed.
Even in today, I'm talking to a friend and she was telling me all the things that she was going through. And really what she's saying, the bottom line is, I feel like a failure. And you know what I began to do? I began to tell her, you know what? You're not looking at what I'm looking at. There's nobody that can go in business like you have, up against the odds like you have gone through and accomplished the things that you have accomplished. And I began to start naming those things. I said, what has happened is you've come to a fork in a road now, that you have to seek God on where you're supposed to go now, but you're just stuck at that one point, and you have summed up all the things that you have done. You have summed it up that now I'm a failure. And it's just like Elijah when he challenged the prophets of Balaam, and he caused them to know who God is. And when he got the word that Jezebel sent, that she was going to kill him, he took off running and went to a cave, and he felt rejected. He felt depressed, not realizing the things that he had done before and the results of those things that he had done. Now he's sitting in this place alone. His mind is just right there in that cave, forgetting about his great exploits that God has done through him. And that's where we are many times, that we're sitting in that cave, not thinking about the results and the things that we have done before. Lord, here I am doing the work of the ministry, and someone else is going on, and it seems like they are prosperous.
We live in a right now society. I want it now. I want it quick. I want it yesterday. I want you to roll back time and give it to me yesterday. But God comes by with a whole new way of thinking, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And he says in Hebrews 10, he said, you have a need for patience, because after you have done the will of God, you need to wait on the promise, because it will come to pass, but you got to wait on it. And what we do is we say, I've done the work. I've finished everything I was supposed to do. Now, how come when I get to the end, I don't have the promise that God has said would be mine? Because you have done, you're right, you have done what you are supposed to do. But what you got to do is keep on doing what God said. Wait on him and be of good courage. God will come through for you, but you have need of patience. And when God talks about patience, it really goes against the grain of everything that we really like to hear. Because then he also says in Hebrews, he says, run with patience the race that is set before you. Now, I don't know if you've ever run before, but unless you're a super long distance runner, patience really isn't a word you think about when you think about running. Long distance runners learn how to pace themselves and be a little patient. But the rest of you, when you run that you might win the race and attain the prize. And you're in a hurry. Everything is quick and fast. But God says, run with patience the race that is set before you. Sound paradoxical. It sounds like a contradiction. He wants you to run. He wants you to be about his business, but he wants you to do it with patience. He wants you to be like that long distance runner and set your pace, because because the race is not given to the swift, neither the battle to the strong, but to the one that will set their pace and make it to the end of everything. God wants you to get to the end of this thing. And sometimes it means endurance. And the thing about endurance, there's nothing that can take the place of endurance. I like recording movies on the DVR because then I don't have to watch the commercials and I speed right through them. But there are some things you can't fast forward through. When God requires you to endure and to wait, you can't fast forward that. I mean, talent won't make endurance go any faster. There's nothing that will make it go faster. Your intellect won't speed up the process. Your education can't do it. Nothing will get you through the process, but you just gotta wait. The song says you can't hurry God. No, you just gotta wait. That song is still true today. You can't hurry him. It doesn't matter how long he takes. He's a God that you can't hurry. He will be there. Don't you worry. The song said he probably won't come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. We've got to learn how to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. God will do his part if you wait.
Can wait on the Lord, and you'll see he always keep his word. But you must just trust in him. Don't be dismayed. Whoa, can cause say
patience in time of trouble.
Yeah.
Trust and believe him.
Oh.
And get the breathing God's promise. You will receive. You will receive it if you wait on the Lord. You'll see, and He'll always keep His word.
The Bible says that we have to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be wearied, and they shall walk and not faint. There is a time that's coming where he said that the promise he gave, he says, though it tarry, he said, wait on it. When an exact point and moment comes, he said, it will come forth. And
it's
that
like
will be
a pregnant woman. She's got to wait until that, no matter how tired and weary you are of being pregnant,
right.
You got to wait until your delivery comes. And the doctor tries to project a due date. They do pretty good, but they don't know exactly when. That baby's going to come when its time has been completed. When it reaches the fullness of time, then it will come. There's a time when what you're going through and what you're enduring will be fully come. Just like a woman in her pregnancy, she comes to full term. And when she does, no matter where she is, she could be in the elevator, in the car, in her house, she could be in the swimming pool. It doesn't matter where she is. When she comes to full term, that baby is going to come forth, because that is the way God planned it. There is a day, a time, there is an exact location when God will bring about your deliverance. I don't know what it is, but what you got to do is wait with expectation and know that God will do what he said. And every now and then, LJ Renee, he allows that baby to kick. He reminds you that this is in you and it's birthing in you. And God's got something greater in store for you, but you got to wait.
Even in Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Why? For it has great recompense of reward, meaning there is a payday coming, that there is a reward that he's going to give to you because you stayed the course. You were steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the works of the Lord. Further down in that particular chapter in verse 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. Remember, he's saying, you know, walk by what you see. You walk by faith, the promises of God. He says, but this is the thing. He says, but if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. And that's the part that keeps you moving forward, that you're not going to draw back. Even if you just got to sit down for a minute and just rest, you just know that you're not going to go backwards. You're going to continue to go forth. But that's when you need God's help to replenish and to refresh you.
Come too far to go back
you
now.
Come, remember that song said, we come too far by faith.
Come this far by faith.
Come this far by
leaning
faith.
On
Lean
the
on
Lord.
The Lord.
And he's and never failed me, no.
No, that's right. He said, and it goes on and says, I'm trusting in your holy word, meaning I'm trusting in your promises. You remember David says, Lord, it is you who have caused me to hope in this thing. It is you who have given the promise and you've caused me to have that great expectation. That's the thing that really holds you true to God. It says, Lord, you're the one that gave me this word. You are the one that caused me to hope. I wasn't even thinking about this, but you put it in my spirit and I ran with it. But now I'm at the place where, God, I'm looking for your promises. I'm getting weird in this place where I am. I feel like I'm getting ready to faint, give up. But in that time is when God said, remind yourself of the promises. Remind yourself of who I am, that I am faithful. And the Bible says that those who put their trust in him, you shall not be ashamed. Sometimes you feel like you're going to be ashamed because you've held on to the promises of God. And when you told people about it, they said, my God, where you get that from? And there's no way in the world that's going to happen. And the days keep going on, the years keep going by, and you begin to hear the words of the naysayer again, and you begin to think, well, maybe this thing is not going to come to pass. But I'm telling you, you begin to say, God, you're the one that gave me this promise. You're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man you shall repent. But if you said it, you're going to do it. And you said not only that, but you will watch over your word to perform it. And here I stand, oh God, I need you, oh Lord, to sustain me and to keep me, and to even at times, as Gideon has said, Lord, show me a sign. He will call someone to give you a word and cause you to know, yeah, I did hear you. I did hear you. You just keep holding on. Don't turn back.
Just keep pressing forward. And as you're pressing forward, we do have a great example in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that we can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got to keep in mind the big picture. The big picture is that I reckon these sufferings of this present day are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that God shall manifest in us in the latter day. So we got to keep in mind the big picture. Like Jesus, he went to the cross because the big picture was he knew that there would be a day when you and I would be calling upon the name of the Lord. He went to the cross. He despised the shame. He endured the affliction because he knew there was a day coming when the unrighteous would be made righteous, when the filthy would be cleansed, when the unsaved would be redeemed, when you and I could stand and encourage one another in the power and the strength of our God. So he endured what he had to endure because he had a picture, a bigger picture in mind. He knew there was coming a promise greater than the suffering that he had to endure. And that's what you've got to keep in mind, that this that you are going through, it cannot be compared with the glory that God will reveal in you when all is said and done. Just like that woman, when she gives birth to that child, the entrance of that new life into the world is so great that she forgets about the pain and the suffering and the anguish. And even if she doesn't forget, she says, it has been worth it all. And that's where you need to be. You need to come to the place where you make up in your mind that this is worth it because of what God has promised and what God will do. It shall be worth it all.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm going to Philippians when it talks about be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That's the antidote to the weariness, is that you begin to cast your cares upon him, because the Bible says he cares for you. He says, be anxious for nothing. He says to pray, and then with supplication. Now, we've known supplication to be that pleading with God, and that's okay. But if you dig a little deeper in that word supplication, it also means to bind. And so I'm standing here and said, there's some things that need to be bound up. And that's the spirit of depression and oppression. That's the spirit of doubt that comes. I'm binding that right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm pleading with you, oh God, you are the one that hear my prayer. And then the last part says, along with thanksgiving, Lord, I thank you because thank I you, know Lord. You heard my cry and my prayer. And I expect to experience the relief that you said will come as a result of me standing on your promises to cast all of my cares upon you. There's a song that says, I cast all of my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know what to do, I cast all of my cares upon you. God, I need your strength, your promise in Psalms 23 that says that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Lord, I need to be led by that water brook. I need to lay down in those green pastures. I need my soul to be restored. I need, dear Father, the anointing of God. I need my cup to run over, God. I need you to lead and to guide me all the way through. I need for you to lay open a table before me in the presence of my enemies so that they'll see that the promises that I stood on, that God, you have delivered. I need you, oh Lord, to do what you say you're going to do. Remember, you are in a warfare and you have to continue to war in prayer and in worship.
Dear God, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the glory and the majesty, and everything that is in the earth and in the heavens belong to you because you made it.
My God.
We acknowledge you today, dear God. Would you strengthen our heart? Would you restore our souls? We confess today, God, that we from time to time grow weary. We cry out unto you, O God, that we have grown weary.
Yes.
Would you replenish us? Give us times of refreshing in the presence of our God. Would you strengthen us for the journey? Would you remind us of the promises of the word of the Lord? Let the confessions of our mouth be according to your word, and everything that proceeds out of our mouth, may it be acceptable in your sight. Thine, O Lord, is the glory and the power and the honor and the dominion. We glorify you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. Would you give us a sign to know, God, that what you have said you will still do, that what you have promised is still true for our lives. We speak peace over the lives of those listening to this recording. We bind up the spirit of depression. We bind up the spirit of loneliness. We bind up the spirit of suicide and we speak yes. life and wholeness and health and wellness and victory over the lives of these your people. We love you, dear God. There is not another God like you. We honor you and we bless your great name.
But you're able, oh God, to give us the strength to go forth, oh God, and do that which you called us to do, and that we will see the results, Father. Lord, help us to look at the path that you've taken us and see what the milestones that you've placed along the way, that we can be mindful that God, that you delivered us before, you will deliver us again, oh God, for you are a deliverer. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you and we lift up your great name and we say hallelujah unto Jesus, the Most High God.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.